reinstatement. Covered employees are entitled to reinstatement at the end of their leave, and that means an equivalent position without the loss of benefits. And it's either the same job or an equivalent, and by equivalent, I mean almost identical. So if you have 50 desks at a call center and you know, somebody moves away from the window, they can, that's fine. You can move desks, but you can't say, well, you're not going to be in the call center anymore. You're going to be in a different unit. You're going to be doing different types of call work. You're not going to be with the same team anymore. That could, you know, ruffle feathers. It could be a little bit different. It could have a different bonus type program. So that means benefits are going to change. So you need to be really careful about any changes that get made. Now, there is a provision in the FMLA that makes it clear that if a layoff or if a termination or if a change is going to happen regardless, in other words, you can prove it doesn't matter whether they were going to be an FMLA. We closed the plant. So 300 people lost their jobs. Okay, so that wasn't because of FMLA, and you're fine to go ahead and do that. You don't have to hold and wait for that. You don't have to restore them because there's nothing to restore them to. But it fairly needs to be really obvious that that position has been eliminated or that position has been changed due to no reason related to FMLA, and preferably to completely unrelated reasons that affected a number of individuals and not just them. And obviously it has its own provision in it that says you cannot retaliate against somebody for requesting for using their FMLA rights. I'm a little trigger happy here on this slide. Sorry. Okay. Not all employees are eligible. And we've talked a little bit about that. So let's move on from there. Okay. Common mistakes. Failing to confirm an employee's eligibility. I know there's a lot of times when employers will cover somebody who's not actually covered, like they're still within their first year, or they're not someplace where there's, like, let's say you have a Phoenix office and you have 38 people in your Phoenix office, and that's the only office you have in Arizona. So those folks really aren't eligible for FMLA because they don't work within 75 miles, you know, a place where there's 50 employees. So they don't really qualify. Don't call it FMLA if it's not FMLA. There's that can get really complicated, and there are courts that have said to employers that if you treat it like if that's FMLA, you say it's FMLA, then you can get sued for the retaliation provision under FMLA, which is really frustrating since you're giving them something they don't even have a right to. And they're not entitled to FMLA. So how can you get sued under FMLA for retaliation? Well, courts have held that. So not all courts, but some courts. So it's just better if you're going to do it to make it clear that although you do not qualify for rights under the Family Medical Leave Act, we are nonetheless going to allow your leave as follows. And it can be identical to FMLA without, you know, necessarily guaranteeing restoration rights. If you want to guarantee restoration rights, you can. I don't know that I would. It can just be, you know, we're going to give you the leave, and then you figure out whether or not it makes sense to restore them when they come back, when they're available to come back. And then you deal with, hopefully don't have to deal with any kind of retaliation arguments because you've never called it FMLA. So just be very careful about who you throw the FMLA terminology around with. And if you're going to use your same forms, at least have a cover letter that says, you know, well, you don't technically qualify for FMLA, which we've said, we're nonetheless going to use these forms rather than sending separate set of forms, but we are going to consider your request for leave, and we're going to grant your request for leave as if it was a request for the 12 weeks of FMLA that you would be entitled to if you were within the right location. So just that's a big danger point. Failing to comply with the notice requirements. And I know this usually isn't HR's issue. It's a funneling of information issue. You hear about it after the fact. Somebody says, well, so-and-so's been gone for 3 weeks now or 4 weeks now. And, you know, we really would like to get them back. And you're like, excuse me? who's been gone for how long. That's obviously a problem because you're supposed to get them out some information under the FMLA within 5 days of the company having reason to believe that they qualify or could qualify. So obviously waiting several weeks becomes an issue. Now, there are circumstances when you can backdate that requirement. You know, you can start the FMLA leave earlier, you know, retroactively, but only if it's not going to have a negative impact on the employee. So if an employee is taking FMLA leave to care for a sick parent and you don't tell them that you're treating it as FMLA, you don't know that they're doing it, and then you find out about it, you say, okay, well, this would qualify for your FMLA, so we're going to backdate this to when you first started taking this leave to take care of your mom or your dad. And they can say, well, now, wait a minute. If I realized that I was using up my FMLA, I would have made my brothers and sisters do it, and I would have taken the night shifts, or I would have taken the weekend shifts. I didn't realize I was using up my FMLA. So in that context, the employee would have had a choice that they never got to actually make, because you simply retroactively deemed it to be their FMLA. So that is not allowed. But if they don't have a choice, let's say they are in a coma at a hospital, obviously there isn't anything else they can do. So then you can say, we're backdating it to whatever time, because there wasn't any choice that they could have made. So be careful if you're retroacting, doing retroactive date.